Marta Irene Saladino. I am a second year PhD student at Radboud University in Nijmegen. My supervisor is Anna Pauls. And I also have some collaborations in Leiden. So I'm going to talk to you about winds in binary stars. Jasmine already gave us a very nice introduction about them. So let's start. So the first question is, why do we want to study wind mass transfer in binary stars? I think that Jasmine and many other talks during the day have already gave us a clue. So the reason is that most of the stars in the universe are in binary systems or even in multiple systems. If the stars are close together, then mass transfer can occur. Now, the transfer of mass can occur via two channels. One is Roche-Love overflow, and the other one is wind mass transfer. This transfer of matter can change the evolution of the system, such as the orbital parameters, when matter is accreted by the companion, it can pollute the star and alter its evolution. So, Shazrin already gave us an overview about how these two channels work, so I'm just gonna say a bit of it. So we have the two stars. Both stars are, okay. We have the two stars, both stars are within, both stars are within the Roche-Love. When we have a star that has a very deep convective envelope, it will start expanding and it will fill its Roche-Love. Then matter will be transferred through the inner Lagrangian point towards the secondary star. The secondary star will start accreting matter, but if it cannot accrete matter very quickly, then what happens is that it will start matter will start piling up onto the star, and then it will also fill its Roche-Love. Then we have what we know as the common envelope phase. During the common envelope phase, friction forces will cause the two stars to spiral towards each other. Then they will decrease their separation, and then tidal forces will become important, and then they will circularize the orbit if it was eccentric. In the second case, wind mass transfer, what we have is a star that is losing mass in a very isotropical way. And if it has a companion, what happens is that a fraction of the mass is transferred to the companion, but most of the mass is lost in the system. Then what happens is that the orbit, instead of shrinking, it will widen. So what we are observing here is the binary period distribution. This plot here was fitted to observations of Sun-like mass stars. So as I just told you, if we have close binaries, during its evolution, they will move towards shorter periods. And they will also circularize. So close binary orbit shrinks and circularizes. In the case of wide binaries, what happens is that the orbit widens. Now, how can we make sure that that this is correct? So if we look at progeny of AGB stars, what happens, as this AGB evolves, it will just become a white dwarf, and it will pollute during the AGB phase, the main sequence star. And the matter will be transferred through Roche-Love overflow or wind accretion. And depending on the initial composition of the AGB, then we will have a barium star, a CH star, or yellow symbiotic, or some other kind of star. But if we look at observations, what we see is actually, I just told you that short period binaries will move towards shorter periods, and wide binaries will move during its evolution towards wide periods. So there should be a gap in between 1 up to 10 years. But as Shazrin told us, if we look at observations, that's not the case. What we see is that actually the stars, the post-AGB stars and all the progeny of AGB binaries lie where they are not supposed to be, with periods of 1 up to 10 years, and not even that. They are not circularized, they are eccentric actually. They show some level of eccentricity. So the aim of my PhD is to investigate this problem. And in order to do that, I'm doing numerical simulations. So how am I doing this? So my ingredients are, as you could imagine, an AGB star. Why do we choose an AGB star? Well, we know that they lose mass at very high rates, as Jorik told us on Monday. These rates go from 10 to the 7 up to 10 to the 5 solar masses per year. They also have very slow winds. This is a bit tricky to simulate. And there's no Bondi Hall accretion. What happened in Bondi Hall? As Jasmin told us, Bondi Hall works well when the velocity of the wind is bigger than the velocity of the orbit. But in AGVs, the velocity of the wind is of the order of the same order of magnitude as the period of the binaries, as the velocity, orbital velocity of the binaries. So there will be some interaction with the companion star. The secondary star, it's just a low mass main sequence star. And how am I doing this? I'm using AMUSE. AMUSE is an interface that was developed in Leiden. And the philosophy of AMUSE is that if you have all these codes in astrophysics to solve different problems, then there should be a possibility to link them. And then you can solve a problem in a more wider way. So basically in AMUSE, what you do is just write a simple script in Python, and then you call and you can couple different kind of astrophysical codes, such as gravitational dynamics, hydrodynamics, stellar evolution, and radiative transfer. So for my case, since I want to study how is the change in orbital in the orbital elements of the binary star, I am using hydrodynamics to simulate the wind, and I am coupling it with gravitational dynamics. So we wrote a code called Stellar Wind. This code is within the AMUSE interface. And basically what we give is different prescriptions to simulate different kinds of winds for different stars. This is just an example of a very simple case in which you have a single star, an AGB, losing mass at the constant rate of 10 to the minus 6 solar masses per year, and the constant velocity of 15 kilometers per second. The movie that you saw here corresponds to the density profile of the star. In AMUSE, it is possible also to couple it with the stellar evolution code and then just get the mass loss from that code. But well, I was talking about binaries, so I'm gonna show you what I am simulating. So I started my simulations just following a recipe by Theuns in 1993. Jasmin mentioned that already. So basically what they did, they just performed some SPH simulations and studied what was the outflow of the interaction of an AGB of three solar masses with a companion star of 1.5 solar mass. The separation in this case is three astronomical units, and it's a circular orbit. The mass loss rate, we have kept it constant, and also the velocity profile is constant with the velocity of the wind of 15 kilometers per second. We have also included some radiative cooling due to hydrogen radiation. So what we are observing here, it's actually the column density of the system that I just mentioned. What we observe is that actually there is an accretion disk created around the companion star. So what happened is that flow is funneling through the inner Lagrangian point, and this creates the pattern for the creation of the accretion disk around the companion star. We also see these nice spirals that have been already discussed during the week, and so they are due to Coriolis force, but they are also due to the collision between the wind coming from the AGB and the accretion wake of the companion star. Now, my preliminary results. So, it's things that we studied. One was the mass accreted onto the companion star. I want to make sure that you understand that this is just an upper limit, and this is because of the way we simulate the companion star. Our companion star is just a sink particle, so it means that we create a radius, and all the particles that come within that radius just fall into the star, they are removed from the simulation, and its mass is added to the star. So we actually got a very efficient accretion rate that corresponds to 30% of the mass that has been ejected by the AGB. But this is just an upper limit. Now, we also compute what's the size and mass of the accretion disk. As you can see, the accretion disk, this is a close up. It's not very asymmetric. And the size of it is of 30% of the Roche law. This is just a comparison between the mass within the disk and the mass that has already fallen into the sink particle. And finally, we compute something that it's very important, especially for people working in binary evolution, which is the specific angular momentum loss. So what we have, it's, well, I found about, okay, I will explain first how we computed this value. We need to account for those particles that have left the system. But of course, this is not a very trivial way to do it, because how do we know that particles are not bounded to the system anymore? So what we did, we created different spheres, imaginary spheres of different radius, and we account for all those particles that had already left the system. And we counted the angular momentum that those particles that crossed these imaginary spheres had removed from the simulation. From the system, sorry. So these points actually correspond for different radius from the center of mass of the system, and this is the average of a specific angular momentum that they had taken with them. We don't know if this line is actually a linear line or if it actually converges towards some value. But the value that we got is that those particles had removed a fraction of 3 from the specific orbital angular momentum of the system. It means if we give the fraction of angular of matter that was accreted by the companion, and if we also compute the fraction of a specific angular momentum removed from the system, then we know that the orbit will shrink. Now, this might not mean anything to you, but if we compare this to, for example, an AGB, a star that is losing mass in an isotropic way, then the mass will have. Most of the mass will escape the system, and only few will stay within the accretor star. In that case, you can estimate the theoretical value, and it gives you a value that corresponds to the mass ratio of the system, which for the specific case that I just showed you corresponds to a value of 0.5. So it means that if you have a companion that interacts strongly with the AGV, in this case, more angular momentum will be removed from the system, and thus it will alter the orbital parameters. So I don't have conclusions yet, because this is still a work in progress. So what I have is actually the future work that we are aiming to do. Basically, what we want to do now is to determine the accretion, mass accretion rate and angular momentum loss from the system, but varying the velocity of the wind, also varying the mass ratio of the system and the separation of the stars. We also want to include eccentric orbits, because that's the aim of my PhD, to study what happens with eccentric binaries. And we also want to study two limiting cases. One case in which the AGB has no spin at all, and the other case in which the AGB has some rotation, is actually tidally locked to the orbit. Why do we want to study this? It's because it will just add some more terms to the angular momentum. So that's it. Thank you very much.
Questions?
Yes.
Hi, very nice talk. So if I understand correctly, you propose a solution to this gap that we observe by explaining that binaries with periods larger than 1,000 days, their orbit might shrink. Is that correct? This is the...
Yeah, so what we want to do is... Okay, here. We know what theory tells us is that binaries that have short periods, when they evolve, they will move towards even shorter periods. In the case of white binaries, they will move towards longer periods. Then there's supposed to be, theory tells us that there should be a gap here between 1 year and 10 years. So we want to, but observations tell us that actually the stars, the post-AGB stars, lie in those ranges. So we want to explain how is that possible.
So you would explain that by saying that the wind interaction binaries go to this gap?
Well, periods? In this case, for this specific, for this simulation, yeah. That's what happened. They were moving actually toward, the orbit is shrinking.
So this would be a solution you would propose generally for this problem? Or
well, we need to also estimate the same things, but for wider range in mass ratio and orbital separations.
Okay, thank you.
questions?
No? Okay, let's thank the speaker again.